Good morning, Mr. Phelps. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is... Then he goes on to describe the mission as Jim Phelps looks at all the papers and the pictures and finds out what his mission is. This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds, right? And then that little tape recorder just, right? You remember that? Well, that's what you were going to see here, but it wasn't possible to show it to you, I guess, right? Now, the younger generation is familiar with the Mission Impossible movies. There were several of them, but you remember the Mission Impossible TV series. And I have a question for you. Do you ever remember Jim Phelps saying, "No, I don't think I want to do that. That's too hard," right? Did he ever reject a mission? No. I also have another question for you. Did they ever fail in their impossible mission? No, at the end of that hour, they succeeded, got the bad guys, caught the spies, or whatever they were supposed to do, right? Mission always seemed to be possible. Well, right now, Mount Hermon Baptist Church is being presented with a mission statement and vision statements by your vision planning team, the team that you assigned, empowered, put into place, has been working, doing a lot of things. Do we really need a mission statement? Well, we don't have to argue about need as much as we can just point out and say, you know, mission statements are very, very valuable to groups, agencies, organizations, businesses, church. A lot of them have mission statements, and for very good reasons. They are very beneficial. Why? Because they can give a group, let's just say a group, they can give a very clear and concise understanding of who we are and what we are about and what our goals are. We can know what we are, we can know who we are, and what we are trying to be. That's what a mission statement can give for a church. It can energize a congregational life, and it can provide a purpose and energy to be more effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a clear mission, it's a lot easier. Can you tell me what was the mission of the Allied forces on June 6, 1944, when they were invading the Normandy beaches? Did they know their mission? Did the world understand the mission? Oh, it was very, very clear. To drive the German forces out of France and out of Europe and liberate the European continent. The mission was very, very clear. Now, carrying out D-Day, was that real simple? Oh, my goodness. So complicated. A lot of things went wrong on D-Day and afterwards. But everybody knew what the mission was. The private, every soldier in the ranks knew what the mission was and was clear about it. Now I ask you, and if we were to ask the average Joe today, what is our mission of our armed forces in Afghanistan today? You might go, "Well, I think it's this," or "I think it's that," and seven people might have eight opinions about it, right? Because we're really not sure. Maybe some people are crystal clear about it, but it's kind of hard to tell. I'm not evaluating these two different conflicts at all. I'm just saying, isn't it a lot easier and a lot better when you are very clear about what your mission is? Useful. Useful. Let's take a closer look at our proposed mission statement. You read it a little while ago here. Proposing that we say Mount Hermon Baptist Church is a loving community empowered by Christ to serve his purposes and the needs of others. Let's take this statement apart and put it back together just a little bit. First of all, by asking ourselves, what are we? This first line here is trying to say, this is what we are, a loving community. Now, you might say, well, why not say church? Or why not say congregation or something like that? Well, mainly because those words carry a whole lot of baggage with them these days, especially for people who aren't familiar with church or don't know what church is all about like you do. Have you noticed that almost every new church that forms these days often doesn't call itself a church? Doesn't always have church in its name, but they will often have the word community. Perhaps you've heard of Powhatan Community Church. They included the word church, but community is prominent there. And community is usually the word that's most often used by new churches when they are forming. Why? Because so many people have gotten either burned or bummed out with or bored by a church or churches that it's something very negative, in their minds. And they won't give a new church a second look. And the word congregation to them is rather antiquated, rather quaint, and they don't quite relate to that as well. But people are hungry for community. They really are, genuine community. They would like to be part of something where people know each other, where people care about each other, not in an intrusive way, not in a nosy way, but in a supportive way, a caring way, and respect each other. That's very, very important to people as community. Why do you think the Andy Griffith Show is still on reruns 50 years after it first started? Why do people love the Andy Griffith Show? You like Andy Griffith, right? What is it about it? Where is it located? Mayberry, North Carolina. Is North Carolina a good place, Ken? Bless your heart, I know it is. Mayberry, North Carolina, where is it on the map? Mount Airy, North Carolina. But does Mayberry exist? Now, Mayberry is a mythical place. Andy Griffith saw him on a TV special not too long ago say that. It's a mythical place. But what is it that people love about Mayberry? It is such a wonderful place where people know each other, care about each other, very personal, very safe. A lot of good things. Oh, what a wonderful community. Well, to tell everyone that we are a loving community is loaded with Christian values and Christian purposes. And after all, what did Jesus say would be the thing that would bring people to know that we are his followers, that we are his disciples? If you look in John 13:35, he said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you," what? Agree 100% on your doctrinal statements? Now, he didn't say that, did he? They will know you are my disciples if you create these massively successful denominational bureaucracies? He didn't say that, did he? Did he say, if you have cool, really cool stained glass windows, or a really modern new worship center that's comfortable and has a fantastic sound system and video equipment that works, you know, that will show people that, no, ours works, I'm just kidding. That will show, a praise band, you know, that's what will tell people that you are my followers. He didn't say that. He said, by this shall all men know that you're my followers, if you love one another. Love one another. Jesus knows what people are looking for. They're still looking for it today, here in the 21st century. Even folks who don't seem to value spiritual things still value and desire genuine love and concern, and that's what's wrapped up in community, a loving community. Look at that qualifier as well. You know, I've heard the folks over the past several weeks get up here and talk about what Mount Hermon Baptist Church means to me. What have they talked about? Did they talk about the facilities? Did they talk about our long, cool history? Did they talk about our church polity and that sort of stuff? I've heard people talking about the people of Mount Hermon Baptist Church, and they named names. I heard name after name after name, so-and-so. And they said, that's just an illustration of someone who's been very special to me, meant a lot to me, loved me, cared for me, who blessed my life. Note to self, don't hit chest, right? They've talked about people, right? A loving community is what I've heard everybody talk about when they're saying the blessings of Mount Hermon Baptist Church. And love, what's the Bible verse, maybe the only Bible verse you have memorized? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus said the greatest commandments. He was asked about it. What are the greatest commandments? And he said, oh yeah, I know what it is. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, who can miss it? It's all about love. So we're saying, hey, we feel that we need to be a loving community. We are going to be a loving community even better than we are right now. That gives us a very accurate sense of what God has in mind, don't you think? A loving community. Now, the question is, who defines love? Who defines a loving community? Second part there is really, really important. Empowered by Christ. Talks about power. It talks about His power. It talks about Christ. If we are not a loving community empowered by Christ, then we are a fake. We are a phony. We are a sham. We are a shell of what we should be. A facade. That's all we are. Honestly. You get the picture. But when you come to Mount Hermon Baptist Church on a Sunday morning or on some other time like that, what are you going to hear about? You're going to hear about Jesus. You're going to hear about Christ. You are going to hear about Him and His being revealed through God's Word. You're going to hear praise that goes up to God in the name of Jesus. You're going to hear messages that are about Christ and how He defines God for us and how He shows us how to live our lives for God. All about Jesus. Empowered by Christ. You remember in John 15, Jesus said to us, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I think I've got that here. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can't do anything. So we say, yeah, we agree. We want to be empowered by Christ. Not too long ago, we got some blackberry bushes in our backyard, and I was trying to cut back the other weeds and other plants that were kind of crowding in on them there and let the blackberry bushes thrive. And I came to one stalk, a prickly-looking stalk. I thought it was a weed, and I snapped that thing, and then I realized, oh, that was a blackberry vine. And I just left it there because I wanted to see what it would do. And, you know, a week later, that vine was just all shriveled up, all the berries that were growing on it. We're all dead. I had severed the vine, separated it, and that vine could do nothing apart, that the branches could do nothing apart from the vine. And that's a picture of us. If we're not empowered by Christ, we will just spiritually shrivel up. We will be nothing. We will have no power at all. But we need to be a loving community empowered by Christ. Great. Power. To do what? To serve His purposes. Does that sound kind of broad? Does that sound kind of big? Well, it is on purpose, but it keeps us centered on Christ and on His purposes. A mission statement at its best is brief. It is, you're able to repeat it. You're able to remember it. It's short enough for you to be able to say, yeah, this is what we are about. Now, how would you possibly summarize His purposes and all that He wants us to be? Wouldn't you have to throw in some really important stuff like, let's say, the Ten Commandments? Aren't those His purposes? You'd have to have all 10 of those. How about the whole 3 chapters of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, these are my purposes and this is what I want you to do? It covers 3 chapters there. In Matthew's Gospel, we call it the Sermon on the Mount. Better throw that in there. And all the other stuff, all the stories that He told, all the parables in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'd have to put those in there too. And all of His wonderful teachings, and then you'd have to say, well, Paul's letters are important to know that. And all the other New Testament writers as well. All the other folks who are trying to clarify that this is what Jesus is about in our world today. So it's as big as the Bible. It really is. We mean the whole Bible, and we're going to see a little bit more about that in the weeks ahead as we go on to talk about the vision statements, because they're very big on that as well. Actually, you see this statement here, to serve His purposes, that's our target, okay? That is very much our target, and what we want to do. And it talks about empowered by Christ. Power is important, but if you don't have this goal or this mission in mind or why, then it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. All of us can go out to the parking lot and get on a bus, and that bus has a powerful engine that can carry us away from here. And we can all get on the bus, and what's going to be the first question in your mind? Is there food? No, not that one. Is it air conditioned? No, not that one. You're going to be wondering, where is this bus going? Do I want to be on this bus? What's the destination? What's the goal? Well, it's not one thing to have power, but it's another thing to have a purpose or a goal. To serve His purposes is where we want to go. Is that short on details? Yes, it's short on details. Just like the invasion of Normandy was short on details as far as its basic purpose, but there were a lot of things to do to get it done. Finally, the last part of this thing right here. To serve His purposes and the needs of others. Do you know what this is? This is actually the second part of what Jesus said were the most important commandments. He said, love God fully and completely. He didn't stop there, though. He said what? He said, and love your neighbors as yourself. Love other people as much as you love yourself. In Matthew's gospel in chapter 25, didn't he tell us this story about a separation of the sheep and the goats? You know that story, don't you? You understand that story? It's not about sheep, not about goats. It's about people. People who do what? People who see others in need and see others who are hurting and see others who are just desperate and they don't do anything. And they are excluded from the kingdom, the folks who don't respond to the needs of others. Into the darkness you go. You're not one of my people if you don't respond to others. But then he turns to the other group who has seen people in need and hurting and hungry and thirsty and naked and need a visit because they need a visit. And they go. They care. They do. And Jesus says, that's my people. You're my people. Welcome in. When you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. Love one another. And not just here in-house, okay? Get out there and love one another. And my goodness, how many stories did Jesus tell to illustrate this about responding to the needs of others? He talked about the guy who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, saw a guy mugged alongside the road, had no idea who he was, but he picked him up, took care of his wounds as best he could, took him to an inn, paid for it, and took care of this stranger. He said, that's what I want you guys to do. Take care of the needs of others. And what's the golden rule? Treat each other the way you want to be treated, right? Well, we could spend all day talking about this one too and the needs of others. But it's just obvious that our mission can't be self-contained. It's got to move out. Got to move out because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Now, do you see what mission statements try to do? Doesn't try to say everything because it can't say everything. But it tries to say the basic things and the important things. And therefore, the mission statement presented to you, and this won't do any good if you don't agree with it, and this won't mean anything unless we all buy into it as a church, unless we all say, yes, we feel led by God to say this is our mission statement. Otherwise, it's just a mere slogan, and we just don't need empty slogans. We want to say Mount Hermon Baptist Church is what? This is the what. A loving community. That's the what. And then, okay, it's a loving community for whom or from whom? Empowered by Christ. To do what? To serve His purposes. And, oh yeah, okay, His purposes. And what does a loving community do? A loving community serves His purposes and the needs of others. Okay? Our mission statement, look at it, it really is a summary of the Great Commission that Pat just read for us a little while ago from Matthew 28. And what Jesus gave as another mission statement in Acts, the first chapter. It says this is very much tied to those things. Have you ever wondered why it's called the Great Commission? How come it's not called the Great Mission? Why commission? Well, it made me think maybe the word co is important there. What does co mean? Like cooperate, right? Co, as if there's two parties that have to do something here. It's not just all up to God, okay? And it's not just all up to us, but it is a co-mission that he calls us to. And we need to be empowered by Christ to do it. So I guess that makes sense. We're doing it together. As you think about this, as you pray about this, keep these things in mind. The most important thing is what we began this time talking about is your mission, should you decide to accept it, is this. In the weeks ahead, I'm going to be talking about the vision statements and how they are fleshing out the mission statement. So I hope that you will be here to hear this, think about it, and for us to talk about it together as we process it together. Can you say this by heart yet? No, you got to look at the screen, right? Okay. Mount Hermon Baptist Church, say it with me. A loving community empowered by Christ to serve his purposes and the needs of others. I won't be surprised if it doesn't take you too long to have this memorized completely. It's simple and it's very, very good.